Appreciate each one that's here tonight. I want to say hello, good evening, however you want to say it. I have something from the Lord, I feel like, that will tie right into the first two messages. It's exactly what you got to have to be ready, and exactly what you got to have to be what you need to be, like was preached this morning. So we desire an interest in your prayers. If the Lord had mercy and help us out. Go to Zechariah 9:9. Now my throat's been feeling pretty good all evening, been singing a little bit. I get up here and it's starting to act up on me. So you pray for us. Lord's got a way of helping us out here tonight. I didn't start this yesterday. It said, rejoice greatly. Somebody read that for me. 9:9 of Zechariah. So he says here, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, look at, consider, weigh, know what is coming. Thy king cometh unto thee. But he is just, he is having salvation, he is lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. All right, let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're getting started here. Fourth chapter and about the eighth verse, I believe it is, Ephesians 4:8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Now then, this is a message of being low. Basically, what it's about is humility. But the bottom line is, the Lord come to make a plan, and he done everything that he needed to do in this plan to be able to help you and I, and to make it where you and I, if we will do it, will be able to get down to the exact spot we need to do to be able to have the victory we need, the salvation we need, the sanctification we need, all kind of relationship with people, individuals, with you and God. These are the things that the Lord wants you and I to do. But you and I are going to have to follow the very example, do the very thing that Christ done, and get down as low as we need to go to be able to get what the Lord would have us to do. We want the victory. We want salvation. There have been many people that has gone to the altar and couldn't get what they wanted the first time. They just couldn't get it. They'd pray up against something, and they'd come again and pray up against something, and they just could not get low enough because the devil presenting this or the devil doing that or whatever it might be. There was a man in Kentucky that he come down and prayed, and he couldn't get saved. He come another night and he prayed and he couldn't get saved. And he come another night and he prayed. And the problem was that he had defrauded his company, and he knew that if he got saved and confessed it, he had probably spent years in the penitentiary. So one night about 1:00 in the morning on a hill in Kentucky, He prayed through. And when he did, all glory came down. The Lord was blessing. And he began to shout and praise God because he had got low enough. It didn't matter. Listen, folks, tonight, when the devil is presenting something to hinder you and I, to keep us from getting the victory that we need to get, the bottom line is you got to go a little bit lower. And go down as low as you need to go. And then the Lord's power and grace can come down and help you and I, bless you and I, lift you and I. Whatever we need tonight, he can give it to us, praise God. But he wants us to get out where we can get it. Jesus went all the way down. Brother Austin Wilson explains these scriptures this way. He said Jesus come down just as low as he needed to go to be able to save the lowest sinner down in the quagmires of sin and raise him up and set his feet on a solid rock and do something for him that nobody else could do.
Yes.
Oh, tonight he come down just as low. All right, let's go to Ephesians 2:2-5. And we're going to set an example by the great Jesus Christ the righteous. 2:5 here says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of robbery, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He said, being found in fashion, he humbled himself and became obedient. Listen, folks, today, Jesus humbled himself all the way down. He lived his whole life in a low state. When he was born, it wasn't in a great mansion. It wasn't in a big hospital. It was as low as you could get in the room there with the animals. Listen, you can't get much lower than that. And then the life that he lived was a life of humility and lowliness where the people, he didn't ride around on big horses in fine chariots. He didn't ride around if you had cars and Cadillacs and Lincolns. But the bottom line, he done what he needed to do. He lived a life of lowliness. That way, when he dealt with souls, they couldn't point at him and said, you can't ask me to do that or you can't do this, because Jesus Christ was as low and he had the power and the workings to be able to make man or help man to get exactly what they need to do. He humbled himself. He said, let this mind be in you. Lord, help us to have a mind that was in Christ Jesus to be just as low as we need to go. He made himself of no reputation. Listen, folks, today, there's a lot of people want to toot their horns. There's a lot of people want to say, I'm so and so. There's a lot of people want to lift themselves up. But listen, I am that I am. Listen, the I ams is God and the Son, and you and I are nothing compared to him. And so consequently, the greatest thing we need to do is live a real humble, low life. Get on down there. Get on down there. And he took on him and made of himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men and being found in fashion as a man. A human being coming down, it would be quite a humiliating thing for you and for him to come down and took on a body when he left the realms of glory, left the greatest place that could ever be, and he come down here and went just as low as he needed to go, whereby he could do what needed to be done, and he could find us wallowing in the quagmires of sin, wallowing in all the problems we have, whatever it might be. He got out low enough where he could get out low enough and be low enough to help us out, praise God.
Yes.
How many of you like roaches? I guess everybody in here knows what a roach is. I've seen them anywhere from about that long to about that long. And most of the big ones is in businesses. And I didn't see too many that big in a restaurant, though. But the bottom line is, if you and I was to think about getting down and taking on us the life of a roach, what do people want to do with roaches? They want to kill them. Stop. Do whatever they need to do to get rid of them. Spray them. Get out of here. Don't want you around. But I'm going to tell you that Jesus was just about like that when he took on human flesh. And the bottom line was, there were people rejected him. They done everything they could do to kill him at the, through the life. They treated him real bad all the way through. But he still come down and took upon him the form of a servant to be able to do what needed to be done for you and I. Praise God. Thank the Lord for that life that he lived. All right, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. He said, now I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul, for my yoke is easy and the burden is light. Now then, he said, come unto me and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly. Listen, folks, when you and I start and living for God, he will help us to learn the very things that we need to learn. One time I was dealing with a family a number of years ago. This had been somewhere around 30, 31 years ago. And I talked to a minister. And he told me, he said, Brother Carl, the only way I found to deal with this family is in real humility. And I love this man dearly. But this time in my mind, I'm thinking, no, that ain't the answer. That's not it. Well, praise God, and while fasting and praying, what I do and so forth, and looking to God, and I was going home one day, and the Lord climbed in the seat beside me, and he said, what I want you to do is when you go into that meeting with him, I want you to humble yourself all the way to the bottom. Mm-hmm. Pastor's right. Carl's wrong. But I followed the advice. I let him walk all over me. One of the trustees that was in the meeting said, I sure wouldn't have wanted to have been you tonight. They slaughtered me, chopped me up, so to speak, done everything they could do. But the bottom line, I come out of there with the blessings of God on my soul. And I kept it that way, praise God, because I'm willing to get on down real low where he wanted me to go. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us to get on down there. He said, learn of me. The great Jesus Christ, learn of me. Thank the Lord we have somebody that is willing to teach us, not only by the word of God, not only by the spirit of God, but by the life that he lived right here on earth, looking back at him, the life of humility, the life of lowliness that he lived was a life that challenged people, praise God. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls. All right, 1 Peter 2:21. 1 Peter 2:21. So are we in a battle? Are you facing something that you're not quite willing to get out as low as you need to get the victory that you need to get? Listen, folks, you can ride over Jesus all you want to, but you're going to have to get down there to get his blessings. You're going to have to get down there to get his victory. You're going to have to get down there where, how's that song go? A stream finds a bed that is lowly. Oh, tonight, Jesus, he's right there waiting. One sister come to the altar one time. This has been a number of years ago. A minister and his wife went down to pray with her. She talked to them and told them everything she needed. And so went to praying. And old General Sammons, as he was praying, he had a vision of a heart. And he said in that heart was a kind of a flat there. And he said underneath that flat was some dust. And he said then he seen the blood. And that blood was coming down. And it run right between those two flaps and cleaned everything out. And when it got through, they started shouting, praise God. She got down where she needed to get. Listen, folks, we can't ride. Old Brother Herschel Hargraves had made the statement, said some people ride up to the altar in a chariot. He said they ought to be slithering up like a snake, down as low as you can go, praise God. The Lord wants you and I get on down there. When we get into problems, when we get into trouble, when things start going against us, somebody not happy with us, maybe in the congregation, on the job, in the family, whatever it might be. And there you and I, we want to get the help we need. You got to get down there where Jesus is to get it. Just get on down there. Oh, and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest. How many of us want rest? How many of us got rest? How many of us got victory? Listen, we just don't have these meetings for anything. They're for the glory of God and for the good of souls. And tonight you and I are here, and we need to put in for everything we need in this meeting. All right, 1 Peter 2 and 21. It said, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously." Oh, tonight. He says here, "For even hereunto were you called." Called. "Because Christ also suffered us, leaving us an example, a perfect." His example was absolutely perfect from start to finish. Even in the garden, he wouldn't let the devil beat him. Even when he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, the devil come along and done everything he could do. Christ wouldn't let him back him into a corner. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Listen, the Lord wants you and I to stay real close to the word of God. We get our inspiration. We get our encouragement. We get our strength right out of that word. And the Lord wants you and I to hang close to it and learn of that word. Drink of that word. Drink of that river. Drink of that power and that glory. Because Jesus wants to help you and I to get everything that we need to get tonight. So are we following that example? "Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin." Now this business of sin, you can't help it. Sin, you must, and sin, you can't help it. It don't agree with that right there, does it? He said here, leaving us an example, that we should follow in his steps who did no sin. Yes. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Oh, today. Good message last night. Good message this morning. Just got it right on down where we're living. Now then, are we ready to die? Have we been slipping away from God just a little bit? Is the devil pulling us into an area where we don't have maybe the real peace and joy that we ought to have? The Lord wants us to get down and get next to the lowly, lowly Jesus and get a real feel by the power of God. All right, let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians, the fourth chapter and the first verse. Lowly. Just how lowly are we willing to go to get what we need to get? Oh, but you don't understand, Brother Carl. Yeah, I do too. Bible said get on down there. You get on down there, you'll find the Savior right where he's at. And he's there to bless you. But if we don't get down there, one girl went to an altar one time, and she is a singer, and at least she thought she was a singer, and she went down there, and a minister and his wife come to deal with her, and they said, "Well, what's your problem? What's your need?" And she said, "Well, I got pride in my singing." And the minister put it this way, he said, "Well, let me tell you something." He said, "If you was to sing for a piece of pie, you wouldn't get a piece." He had a way of helping her to get on down there. Lord, help us to get on down there without the preacher, maybe, so to speak, without mom or daddy. The Lord wants you and I to see ourselves what we need to do and be willing to get on down there on our own and say, "God, have mercy on me. I want to get the victory that I need to get." Right, Ephesians 4 and 1. He said here, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now he said here, I therefore the prisoner. Paul here, laying it out. I am the prisoner of the Lord, and I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now then, there's the office of the president, vice president. There's senators and congressmen on the national level and on the state level. There is kings and queens. There's all kind of positions that's high up, that is in a high position. But the Lord here wants us to know that he wants you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. That vocation tonight, being saved and sanctified and living the life of Christ, like was preached this morning, living that life before mankind, is the highest vocation that you and I can have.
I
ain't interested in being a president. I'm not interested in being a vice president or even a senator, congressman. I know one of the state senators with the state of Oklahoma. He's a fine man. He belongs to the church, and I guess he's still with that church. And we had our TOPS club there, our TOPS meetings there, and he happened to be there one time. He was just a nice, humble man. He makes nice, humble decisions, in my opinion. And he has done very, very well in his position as senator. But Lord, help us not to think that I am what I am above what I am. Help us to realize that the vocation tonight is to lift up Jesus Christ, lift up God the Father, and to live a life that challenges people that they'll want to get saved and sanctified and live to the glory of God. Oh, tonight, that's what he wants. This is the best vocation in the world. Forget all the rest of it. I done give all that mess up years ago. But to walk worthy, live the life. Like brother was preaching, he laid it down. He didn't pull any punches this morning. He hit it right where it was. Live the life that you got to live to be able to challenge the people to live a life themselves, be saved and sanctified, and find the truth and do what they need to do for God. That's what the Lord wants you to do. Now then, are we doing that? He talked about two men. One of them a preacher. I'm not preaching your message over, brother. I'm just adding, working with it. Talked about a preacher that challenged him. Then he talked about another man that didn't challenge him. Oh, tonight, you and I need to be the man that challenges people, praise God. That gets their attention, praise God. Samuel Morris, when he came to the United States, he didn't know how to maybe read or write much. He didn't know a whole lot of anything. But he knew one thing. He was saved and sanctified. He had power with God. And he done things that shook everybody up around him. That's what we need to be. I've got some education. I've never made big money. But I've been able to pay my bills and eat my food and drive my car and have a little money in the bank down through the years. But the bottom line was, I put Jesus first, praise God. Lifted him up. No matter what, his ministry, my ministry, because of his calling, I wanted that to be the number one thing in my life. And it's been that for 8 years now. Oh, that vocation. How are you living behind closed doors? How are you living on the job? I ain't going to pull no punches neither, brother. How are we living? I worked with a man a number of years ago for a short time. This man didn't know me before we started working together from Adam's house cat. But there we started working. He found out what I was. And he started talking about religion. He had gone to churches. He had watched people's lives. And he would talk about a certain one. He'd take them and he'd pitch them in what I call a hypocrite trash can. Why, that man wasn't living the life, and pitched him away. He done this every day for several days. And then one day, he mentioned a saint. In my eyes, he got my attention. I knew the man. I'd been in his home. eat off his table, slept in his bed. He would come to Coffeyville and different places where I'd be preaching and kind enough to come listen to this old boy. But the bottom line was, I thought, now what's he going to say about this person? Because I knew the life this man lived.
Yes.
He didn't pitch him in the trash can. He lifted him up. He had fine words to say because the man had lived the life before him. So Lord, help us tonight. What are we living in the backside? What are we living in the car? What are we living down the road? Listen tonight. The Lord wants us to live a vocation that will challenge everybody, no matter who they are, when they are, what they are. With all lowliness and meekness. Oh, how's that lowliness showing up? Husbands, how you doing with your wives? Oh, but I am a husband. Cleaned the house of a doctor. He operated on my dad several years before that. And we sent over there to do some windows. Well, Brother Lloyd went with us, and we went over there and cleaned them windows. He started talking about this man. I thought, I wonder if this is the one I think he is. So later, I asked Lloyd's daughter that I worked with some, Linda, and I said, Linda, is this so-and-so? She said, this is the man. His family had been an orthopedic surgeon for years. He was either the third or the fourth generation, and his son was coming up right behind him. But the problem was, this man had an attitude that was so high that even the rich doctors didn't want to have anything to do with him. So he comes in the house, had on green scrubs, and me and my big mouth, I said, you look like a doctor. He goes, I am a doctor. I said, Linda, Paul and I, not Linda and I. I said, her and I ducked out of the laundry room door and got out and couldn't wait to laugh. And we laughed and we laughed and we laughed. Listen, folks, the Lord doesn't want us going, I am somebody. He wants us to go down on our knees where the power is and be able to do the thing that the Lord would have us to do, to pray the prayer of faith, to be with people, live the life before people where it will stir them to be a better saint. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering. Lord, help us to have some long suffering with one another.
Yes.
When a person gets saved, they don't know very much. Be gentle, loving, long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. We need that unity at every congregation in across the country. We need that unity. That unity is what's going to bring healing. That unity is what's going to bring blessings, praise God. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, today, are we living the vocation that the Lord would have us to live? Are we doing the things that he would have us to be? Husbands, if you make a mistake with your wife, if you maybe speak maybe a little sharp, or if you maybe do something that wounds her a little bit, do you have the humility and the lowliness to go, will you forgive me, dear? Please forgive me. Well, it's getting a little lower now. What about the children? Fathers, well, I'm the dad. Jesus is God, too, or the Savior. And him and God work together. And there's a throne of grace. Doesn't it say something about our prayers getting through? Lord, help us to live the life where our prayers will get through. And that's including living it before the children. That's including the way we deal with the children. Oh, Brother O'Neill Pratt, South Carolina, had 12 children. I lived down there 6 years. He died in the spring just before I went there in 1978. I never knew him, but I heard about him. And everything I heard was good, except one thing. One thing now. And you know what that was? Somebody felt like he hadn't quite chastised a child or corrected a child quite right. Now, if I'd had one or two children, I wouldn't have the gall to open my mouth and tell him that, considering that I'd only raised two. He had raised 12 children. They all turned out pretty good. They're not all saved, but they've all had a good life. I'm close to some of them, very close. When somebody in the family gets in trouble, I'm getting a call, or Molly's getting a text or a call. We need your prayers, Brother Carl. We want it right now. And we go to bat for them, so to speak. But I'm going to tell you, he lived the life that they could only say one negative thing in 6 years. What about you and I? What can they say about you and I? Can they pitch us in the hypocrite trash can? They say, well, that person just ain't what they say they are. Lord, help us. I don't know that I'm getting in stuff I really didn't know I was going to get into. But you pray and I'll preach. Lord, help us tonight to get down lowly. Help us to live that life on the job. If we make a mistake there, well, are we going to get down low enough to say, I am sorry? Well, you're the boss. It don't matter. Jesus is the Son of God. He was lowly. Real lowly. And he made the plan. And he lived the life that done what needed to be done for everybody. Praise God. Oh, tonight, Lord, help us. On the job. Business dealings. Sometimes you can make problems or make mistakes in business dealing. How do you deal with those that you're dealing with and working with? Oh, tonight we need people to say, this person lives for God. The bottom line is we're down to about 39% of the people is all that's interested in living, that's interested in being churchgoers. Let me put it that way. 39% in the United States. And because of the back off, because of the corruption that is in Babylon, so to speak, the bottom line is the devil has got such a hold on things now that it is rapidly going down to the left. Philippians 2 and 1. Philippians 2 and 1. I'm doing pretty good tonight on time. Only problem is I'm not through. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you. Here we go again. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now he says here, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, no. Oh, Brother Carl. Now hold on a minute. No, the bottom line is we need to do what we need to do. Guthrie. I don't even know what year it was before I started pastoring there. We'd had a flood. No. We had decided, they had decided that they were going to strip the floor, wax the floor in the whole chapel, and you all had been there, that wasn't no small floor. And we're going to give it a good once over. Brother Bob was the head honcho, best I remember. My nephew, Earl the Pearl, called me. I was at Rebecca Ann's, courting her, and they wanted me to leave that and come home and work on the floor. Well, I thought it all over, and I said, I'll come home and help you, Earl, Bob, whoever. And I got there. We went to work. We got it all done. Dear Brother Leslie got up giving out commentations, or however you call it. In other words, Brother Bob this and Brother Earl that and so forth. They talked about everybody but me. And I felt like I'd give more than all of them. I'd walked away, so to speak, and come home from the love of my life at that time and come home there. And here they was, didn't even mention my name. I thought, Lord, help me. I thought about it, and I just got on down there. Let them be better than me. I knew what I was doing. I'd worked on floors, scrub floors, strip floors, buff floors, wax floors. I'd done it all. But But they didn't even mention my name.
Lord.
And the Lord helped me, give me a scripture. Might have been this one right here. That just get on down there and let them be esteemed better than you. And that's what I did. And guess what? The Lord helped me. The Lord blessed me. Oh, tonight. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Each esteem others. Lift them up. Bless them. Not yourself. Don't lift yourself up, but let them be lifted up. Oh, tonight, what did Jesus do? He lived a life, didn't he? And because he lived the life, you and I are here tonight. If you hadn't remembered that, we wouldn't be here. Oh, lowliness of mind. Lowliness of mind. Put yourself on down. You get to thinking, I am somebody. Get yourself on down there and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Can we say that tonight? We get down to the end of the way. That's all we're going to be able to say is I am what I am by the grace of God. I can't keep myself. I can't justify, sanctify. I can't do any of that. It takes Jesus Christ the righteous to do it all. So Lord, help us tonight to look at it the right way, that it's Him. Jesus Christ the righteous is what has kept me all these years. 51 years plus now I've lived for the Lord. And I ain't tooting my horn, I guarantee you. But I look back and it's been Jesus Christ every step of the way. His power, His glory, His grace, His strength, His blessing. That's what's kept me saved down through the years. That's what's helped me in the pulpit, out of the pulpit, in the homes, on the job, whatever it might be. It's been Jesus the righteous. I am what I am by the grace of God. Now then, have we ever got into a place of strife with anybody? Let nothing be done through strife. I worked with a man one time. In the very beginning, he was of another belief. In the very beginning, the Lord told me, he said, you're not going to be able to help that man. I didn't listen very well. One night, there was three of them. Best I remember, it was Earl. I can't remember the third man of our congregations or belief, and myself and that one man. We give him scriptures. We talked to him. We dealt with him. And all it was, it just fell on deaf ears, so to speak. He wouldn't accept anything. And I got home, and I'm going to tell you what, I was a little bit discouraged, Brother Manuel. And the Lord spoke to me, said, child, I told you that you couldn't help the man. He told me from the very beginning, and I kept on. Oh, tonight, we didn't really strive with him per se, but yet we discussed scripture and tried to help him in every way we could. But if you ain't careful, you can get into striving with people. You can get into pulling. You can get into some vainglory. But the Lord said, but in loneliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Oh, tonight, Lord, have mercy on us. All right, let's go to Matthew. I want to talk about one of my favorite scriptures, favorite set of scriptures, 15th chapter. Matthew, please, and the 24th through the 30th verse. Well, no, let's see. Let's start up here at 21, 15, 15, 21 of Matthew. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. Behold, a woman of Canaan come out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she, and she worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Yes. And he said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Yes. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, Great is thy faith. Be it even unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I love this.
Thank the Lord.
This woman kept getting lower and lower and lower.
Amen.
She didn't stop. She wanted what she wanted. And she knew Jesus had it. And she went after it. And he called. There he said, well, he said, they answered and said, and his disciples came over. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, I wasn't sent here to help you.
No.
I wasn't sent here to help you.
Right.
Well, that didn't offend her. I wasn't sent here to help you. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. In other words, she got right on down just a leather knot, so to speak. Have you been in a case where that somebody is against you or after you or however you want to say it, and you're trying to get this all taken care of, and you start out and you're reaching out, you're doing everything you can do, but they keep rejecting you and pushing you back, and do you just keep going down a little bit lower? And a little bit lower after that. This woman just kept going down. She didn't quit. Listen, how bad do we want what we want tonight?
Lord.
Let's wake up tonight. Don't go to sleep on me. How bad do we want the victory? How bad do we want salvation? How bad do we want sanctification? How bad do we want the victory with an individual that we have a problem with? If there is a problem, how low are we willing to go to get it?
Yeah.
Are you willing to get on down there and just lay down, so to speak, and say, please have mercy, I want you to forgive me. Or I want this, or I want that. She just come and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. All right now. He's calling her a dog.
Lord, mercy.
Have you ever been called a dog? A wolf? A lion? Tiger? A bear? Have you ever been called something that didn't fit you at all, so to speak? And they were after you. They were denying you. They were trying to give you trouble. Listen, the Lord said, it's not meet to take the children's bread. In other words, I am come for the Jews. And at this point, I can't take what belongs to them and cast it to somebody like you, a dog. I'm not going to do that. But she answered and said, and she said, truth, Lord. She admitted it. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She got out a little bit lower. Thank you, Jesus, for an example of a woman in the Bible that was willing to keep going just a little bit lower and a little bit lower to get what she was after. Her daughter was in trouble. She was vexed with the devil. Listen, folks, if we had somebody that was vexed with the devil, I guarantee you we'd want help from the Lord. We'd need, we'd want it, we'd desire it, we'd go after it. We would fast, pray, beg, plead, cry, whatever we need to do. I know we're the children of God, and it's not the same setup. But the bottom line is, she was not of the Jewish household of faith, so consequently she was in a position that the Lord kept telling her, I'm not going to help you. I don't want you around. The apostle saying, tell her to leave us alone. She's crying after us, Lord, and we're tired of this. We don't want to hear her sound anymore. And she just kept on and kept on and kept on. She got lower and lower and lower. Praise God. This is a prime example of what you and I need to do when the devil is trying to cause problems in any way, shape, form, or fashion. If he's trying to cause problems with your husband, your wife, your children, your family, your neighbors, your friends, or whatever, this is a prime example that you just keep getting a little bit lower. Yet the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall. She wasn't asking for a whole meal. She wasn't asking for a big old bucket full of Alpo dog food. She was asking the crumbs. Lord, and just give me the crumbs. That's all I'm asking. It falls from the table and the dogs eat it. That's all I'm wanting. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. And I'm going to add this in too. Great is thy humility, child. Great is thy lowliness. Now I could be wrong, but if I was in his shoes, I'd look at that situation and I'd be touched deeply. And since he had such pity and compassion, since he was the one that was a great man of love and mercy and pity, I'm sure that he looked on her in that respect.
Yes, Lord.
Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. How low are we willing to go? Jesus went all the way down as far as he needed to go to make the plan that we needed him to make. This woman went down as far as she needed to go to get the help from Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think we stop a level too high. We need to just go down another level. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Brother Sammons, in his very, very early ministry, matter of fact, I think it was after his first message, he felt like he had not done very good. And so he got out. And just got down, laid on the floor, begging God. He didn't think he was low enough, so he looked, and his wife's treadle sewing machine was there. He just stuck his head up under that sewing machine and said, God, have mercy on me. And he kept praying, and he kept begging, and he kept pleading. And the next time he got in the pulpit, it was different. He had that anointing. He had what he was asking for. He just went another step on down. Oh, tonight. One more step down. Oh, he went down low. You can't get much lower than prostrate on the ground. But he thought it was better to get up under that sewing machine. So he did it. I don't care what you got to do. Do it.
Amen.
Get on down there one more, two more, whatever. We want the victory. We want peace. We want power. We want authority. We want everything that God's got for us. We got problems in the family. We want to get them ironed out. Listen, folks, we've got a world today that's so angry, that's so hateful, that's so mad, that's full of wrath, and they're doing everything they want to do to tear up everything they can tear up. Listen, folks, we're not dealing with a bunch of saints. We're dealing in a world. And I do. Well, I love where I live, except when tornadoes come cruising through. But the bottom line is, we're in a good spot. Shawnee's big enough. Meeker's nice. I've got connection to both of them real good. And everything, my wife told me that her niece told her that Aunt Molly, one of my best friend's husband, went in to get some cigarettes. He was 30 years old and he forgot his ID. I thought, well, did he have his driver's license? That'd tell the guy what he needed to know. But the guy he was dealing with was 20 years old. He was 10 years older than that guy. And the guy was upset at him because he didn't have his ID. He turned, I guess, to go get that ID. He turned around and the boy pulled a pistol out and shot him dead right there. I thought, over a pack of cigarettes? Lord, have mercy. The United States and the world has no common sense anymore, basically. So the only way they're going to get it is to find that dear one up there that has the blood and the power that can cleanse and wash and redeem and save and sanctify and do what needs to be. The United States needs to get out on its knees and beg and plead till they get it. Praise God. Babylon churches need to. They need to kick this idea of gay marriage out the deal. This idea that homosexual can come in here. I'm not against homosexuals. I love them. But the bottom line, I don't agree with what they do. Oh, tonight, how low are we willing to go? How low are we willing to go? Let's go to Psalms. We'll finish up in Psalms and Proverbs and we'll be done. 138 of Psalms, 6th verse. 138 and 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. I was in a large mansion, about 10 to 12,000 square feet. Had a hall on it that all the bedrooms was on, and the movie room, and the media room, they called it. It was 100 foot long itself till you got down to the master bedroom, and it was quite large. Anyway, the man that owned it, Paul Clemens, married to Mary. Both of them had been married before. His wife had been killed in a kind of a freak car accident. She had divorced her lawyer husband. There was a son. The son had been made what he was by Paul. He had taken him in to the company. He had basically given him everything he had, the Porsches, the big house. He had married his daughter, Paula, and I can't think of his name. But anyway, they were married. One time, I was out here dusting or something, and he was walking down that hall. And I looked at him and watched him, and I thought, boy, pride is just spilling out all over you. Just look, I thought, if you consider what you got and where it come from, you ought to be getting down there and crawling down that hallway. But he thought he was something stuck on a stick because he drove a Porsche, because he lived in a big two-story home. Wasn't near as big as mom and dad, so to speak. But he did have a nice home. That's what I was told. I never rented it. Had some children. He had a pretty wife. Everything looked good. He was just going down that hall. I thought, Lord, have mercy. He says here, though the Lord be high, yet he hath respect unto the lowly. Those that are willing to get down like the little lady and say, Lord, the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, help me. But said, but the proud he knoweth afar off. There's another scripture. Is it in James? Let me see if I can find that right quick. James. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So he said here, he giveth more grace. He said he resisteth the proud. What's he say over here? He said, but the proud he knoweth afar off. Listen, folks, God is not just hugging up the proud, because his life was so lowly. His way was so lowly that pride has an obnoxious thing to the very spirit of God and Christ. And so consequently, people that are running around of a proud heart, he's got them way out here. Got them way out there. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. All right, let's go to Proverbs 3 and 34. And 11 and 2 says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. But with the lowly is wisdom. There's another scripture that says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Listen, folks, not. I thought for a while that what that meant is when I got to heaven, I was going to see Jesus. Well, that's part of it. But I'd read something, I was meditating on what I read, and it hit me that the bottom line is, if you and I are going to get to the depths of what God wants us to get to in the Word of God, we're going to have to be pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The problem with the world is they can't see Him because they're not pure. They can't see Him because they're not saved. They go to church. They bake cakes for the preacher. They put their money in the box or give $100 bills. They go out the door. They make it look like they're real something that they're not. And they live a life that is shoddy. They live a life that is bad. And they want to say, I'm going to heaven. He said, I know them afar off. I'm holding them. Lord, help us to get on down there where we need to get. Proverbs 3 and 34. said, "Surely he scorneth the scorners." You know, sometimes we scorn people, or we could scorn people. One minister among us was at a family reunion, and they were there and said a man come in that looked bad, smelled bad, and evidently was bad. And they was looking down, and he's looking at them, and they was kind of, if you want to use the word, scorning or disdaining them. And the Lord spoke to them, said, "Where would you be if it wasn't for me?" Something like that. Where would you be? Where would you be if it wasn't for me? Listen, you can disdain him all you want to, but said, he's the one that can scorn the scorners. He's the only one that has the right and the power to scorn people. You and I should not be scorning people. We should be loving people and trying to help people. And then he says, he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace. How much grace do we need tonight? How much power? How much salvation? What do we need? Have you come to this meeting just for a good old get-together, so to speak? We need to come to this meeting hungry. We need to come to this meeting desirous to get help, no matter what it is.
Yes.
One woman stood up in Guthrie many, many years ago, and I had high admiration for this sister, and she said, "I need more of the love of God." And I thought, "You're the epitome of love. What are you talking about?" But as I've grown and learned, I can use more love too. What about you? Anybody in here need any more love?
Yes.
Anybody in here need some more forgiveness or some more mercy, some more power, authority? Is there anything we need? If there is, let us get it. Let's don't just keep putting it off. The ministers are here to help you. The Lord is here to bless you, and he wants you and I to have everything he's got, but we need to put in for it. Won't you come? Let's stand and have a number, please. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight.